Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 34, Canto 10, Chapter 2. Sattvam Vishuddham Shayate Bhavan Stitao. Sharira Nam Shaya Upayanam Vapo. Vidakriya Yoga Tapak Samadhi Bhis. Tavarhanam Yena Jana Samihate. Sattvam Vishuddham Shayate Bhavan Stitao. Sharira Nam Shreya Upayanam Vapo. Vidakriya Yoga Tapak Samadhi Bhis. Tavarhanam Yena Janak Samihate. Sattvam, existence. Vishuddham, transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature. Shayate, accepts. Bhavan, your lordship. Sittau, during the maintenance of this material world. Shriranam, of all living entities. Shreyaha, of supreme auspiciousness. Upayanam, for the benefit. Vapaho, a transcendental form or body. Veda Kriya, by ritualistic ceremonies, according to the directions of the Vedas. Yoga, by practice of devotion. Tapaha, by austerities. Samadhibhi, by becoming absorbed in transcendental existence. Tava, your. Arhanam, worship. Yena, by such activities. Janaha, human society. Samihate, offers its obligation unto you. Translation, O Lord, during the time of maintenance you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus, you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.3, yajna dana tapak karma nat chajam. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. And again, yagyo danam tapash chaiva pavanani manishanam. 18.5 Bhagavad Gita. Even one who is very much advanced in spiritual realization must still execute the Vedic principles. Even in the lowest stage, the karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Yagnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words yagnartat karmana indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that those duties should be performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Sva karmanatam abhyarcha. According to the Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society. Chatur Varnya Maya Shrishtam. There should be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tam Abhyarcha. This is real human society, and without this system, we are left with animal society. Paragraph. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of Gokara, cows and asses. Saeva Gokara. Everyone is acting in a bodily concept of life, involving society, friendship, and love for the improvement of economic and political conditions, and thus all activities are enacted in ignorance. The Supreme Personality, therefore, comes to teach us how to act according to the Vedic principles. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Translation. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and this has proved very much effective in all places, at all times. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vidaish desire vair aham eva vedya. We should always know that when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appeared, they appeared in Shuddha Sattva bodies. One should not mistake the body of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a material body like ours, for Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as needed for the benefit of the entire human society. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddha Sattva transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life. Yasyatma bhuti kunape tri datuke. And concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language. Essentially, such activities are the activities of animals. Sa eva gokara. We should learn how to act from Bhagavad Gita, which explains everything for human understanding. Thus we can become happy even in this age of Kali. Here's Prabhupada doing it again, saying Varnashram duties must be performed. The Lord comes to give them. And then he says, Varnashram duties cannot be performed in this age because people are too fallen and therefore chant Hare Krishna. So this, you know, what is the intention? What is a nice devotee supposed to do? Do or not do? So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, this is the appearance of Krishna, and it's the end of Dwarpa Yuga, but still, these messages are eternal, and Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, text 3, text 5, saying, don't give them up. the verse, so the third line of the verse, Veda, Kriya, Yoga, Tapasamadhi, the commentary of Acharyas say this is just, you know, touching the Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, stages of life, the ashram stages of life. And Prabhupada is just mentioning, because it's in the purport, everyone must. So these are duties of different ashrams, and we must. And so Veda, that's the study of scripture. Kriya, Kriya Yoga, that's the duties of a Grihastha. Tapa, Vanaprastha. Samadhi, the position of a sannyasi. And it's just touched on the purport here as well. These are ashram positions, and we're obliged. It's very clear in the purport, very clear in the verse. We're obliged. And then it's not possible. So what's a nice devotee supposed to do? Do or not do? And, well, we're supposed to do, but the form, this is keeping it simple. This is from our, Exploring Varnashram seminar in Gita Nagari. The form of the ancient days is not possible, but the principle is something that must be done. I mean, just as a for example, one elder couple asked, what are we supposed to do when we come to the stage of Vanaprastha life? I said, well, there's a whole chapter about it in Bhagavatam, Canto 7. And you read Canto 7 and, you know, impossible, wear a tree bark and go to the forest. And so what are you supposed to do? you follow the principle, and there's other forms of it, and you research carefully in Prabhupada's books, which some who are in the Vanaprastha stage have done and have written essays about it, or at least articles. There's a couple of them, without mentioning names. it's something that Prabhupada wanted, and it just isn't going to look like it looked like in ancient days. In seventh canto, chapter, whatever it is not possible. But the principle is certainly possible and wanted. And emphasis upon, from the purport, as well as this section of the Bhagavatam, the emphasis is on pleasing Krishna. Emphasis is on pleasing Krishna. Whatever you do, that's the purpose. That's, and that pleasing Krishna purpose, that's bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Pleasing, that's bhakti. That's the definition of bhakti. I'd like to read briefly the comment, it's just some appreciation of how different acharyas are addressing different audiences, and therefore their emphasis is according to their audience. And Prabhupada's audience was also specific, and so he's emphasizing according to his audience. Here's Vishwanath, commentary on this. Listen carefully, it's nice. In verse 29 of this chapter, so this is 34, so I'm going back a few verses, text 39, there was mention of the Lord's pure forms appearing in the world of moving and non-moving entities. So that's also here, Vishuddha, Sattvam Vishuddham, that's the Lord's form. And then that verse says that the purpose of the Lord's appearance is to help the devotees. Then 30, 31, 32, 33, the purity of bhakti has been mentioned in verse 32. This is 34. There is the hint, more than a hint, that by attachment to the Lord's feet, the devotees also attain liberation. As a secondary result, it's, you know, in 31 and 32. 30, 31, and 32. It's all there. But the goal is not liberation. That's not the goal of the Bhagavatam. It's not the goal of taking shelter of the Lord's Buddha's feet. What's the goal? The present verse is spoken to show that the real purpose of the Lord's appearance in the world is to establish bhakti. Now, that's not exactly what Prabhupada is saying in his port. He's speaking to, you know, his specific audience, his current contemporary audience. But it's not that bhakti is hidden, it's just he's making a different emphasis. The emphasis on the holy name and the emphasis on seeing the form of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as spiritual, which is, you know, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Desatarani. He's helping again and again his audience, the world, to understand the form of Krishna is all spiritual and the process of bhakti is all spiritual. And it may look a little different for different people. Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha, but the principle is the same. The principle is pleasing Krishna. Let me go on. This is, again, Vishwanath. You accept, so the person is offering, the demigod is offering the prayer, you accept a purely spiritual body beyond material contamination. Vishuddha Sattvam. What type of form? Question mark. In maintaining the world, stittau, you accept a body which brings about benefit, shreya, for the living entities. What is that benefit? The third line. The brahmacharis study the Vedas, the grihasthas perform kriya yoga, the vanaprastis perform tapas, and the sannyasis sit in samadhi. Men worship you through their activities in these four ashrams. So in the ancient days, these forms were appropriate, ashram-appropriate forms of worshiping the Supreme Lord. They didn't do it the same way we do it. But the principle is the same principle. This is the benefit that you bring about by your appearance. If one does not accept your spiritual form, he cannot attain perfection. Just a little appreciation. Yesterday evening there was really, you know, simple discussion about the 10 essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which are the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no difference. And on the topic of devotional service, it's the only way of achieving perfection. Now, there are ways of elevation, but then there's perfection. And unalloyed devotion is the means of achieving perfection. Now, unalloyed devotion can look different in different ages, in different ashrams, in different individuals within the same ashram. It can look different. That's just fine. Diversity is just fine. But there's principle. So this arhanam, tava arhanam, yena, jana. Persons who worship you, so they're offering not just the fruits of their work, because that's in Prabhupada's purport, the fruits of their work, because otherwise work is binding, but beyond that, you know, beyond karma yoga is bhakti yoga. And then the activity is for the pleasure of Krishna. That's bhakti. And who is Krishna? One needs to understand who Krishna is, not just something notional, like God. You know, Christ is God, and love is God, and the flowers are God, and I met somebody without going into it. You know, the trees are God. So there are lots of ideas out there about God. And therefore, Prabhupada preferred the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a spiritual form. And then pure devotional service becomes possible. It's not immediate, but if you have the wrong target, so this is now again the the 10 essential teachings. Krishna is the source of everything, and so who is Krishna? Satyat Ananda Vigraha, etc. His form is Satvam Vishuddham. And Prabhupada wrote it, as far as we know, Prabhupada wrote his own Prana Mantra. Because who in ISKCON knew Sanskrit at that time? Maybe Pradyumna, but. And his own expression was Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, besides being the unalloyed servant of Bhaktisiddhanta. So, strong emphasis in the Western world, what to speak of South India or anywhere in the world, China, anywhere in the world, impersonalism and voidism, very strong. So strong. Why? Because that's an obstacle to bhakti. You can't, say it the other person, you can't do bhakti if you don't know the objective. So it's really important to understand the personality of Godhead is fully spiritual. It goes back, this is Vishwanath, going back to verse 29. 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. It's speaking to, these are the demigods offering prayers to Krishna in the womb, and they're speaking about the penultimate position of bhakti, and the form that's about to appear is all spiritual, although within the womb of Devaki. Sounds like a contradiction, especially if you're not a, you know, Krishna bhakta. What's in the womb of Devaki has got to be something material, because how is the womb of a mother going to produce something that's not material? By the internal potency, that's how, but, you know, it doesn't compute. And so we're also influenced. Srimad Bhagavatam specifically is glorification of the personality of Godhead, and it's the literature, especially one of the verses that Prabhupada liked very much is from this Canto 1, Chapter 7. No, Canto 1, Chapter 5. In the preface, that this literature that's glorifying the personality of Godhead, it's for people who are sinful. That's Janata Agha Viplava. That's the audience. The Bhagavatam's audience is sinful people. Of course, it's also Paramahamsas, and that means everybody in between. But that's the literature, and it's important in composing that literature that this emphasis given this section, bhakti is superlative, even if one does other things which are not to be neglected, bhakti is the essence, not the ritual, not the study as a brahmachari or kriya yoga, as a householder, and tapa as a, that's not the essence. And the essence can bring perfection. That's the emphasis of this section. I want to read Jiva Goswami's commentary. Though you have a body which is the supreme cause, as mentioned in Bhagavatam 393, you manifest a body of Shuddha Sattva in this world. This Vishuddha Sattva body is beyond Maya, arising from the Chit Shakti, spiritual potency, and is not different from you through your Prakash Shakti. You appear to protect the world, Stitao. You have a variety of eternal bodies, You manifest a particular body for protecting the world at a particular time. For instance, though a person has various senses, he takes shelter of the eye to see or the ear to hear. After appearing in giving protection, these forms produce happiness for the living beings, even through meditation. Your body is like a gift given in compassion for unlimited living beings. That's the shariranam term in the verse, which yields results of pious acts and other goals up to prema. He refers to Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. By the Lord, full of bliss, all beings live. He gives the results of different worshippers. Then he goes to these four down in the third line. However, if one worships the Vedas, through the Vedas, or by other methods, without aiming at the body of the Lord, it is not direct worship. This is a topic in chapter 7, Bhagavad Gita. And the advocacy is direct worship of the spiritual form of the personality of Godhead. That's this whole section for commenting back on Vishwanath. For this reason, it is said that this is the best method for all beings. Sridhar Swami says that without aiming for the body of the Lord, one cannot even attain the results of karma yoga actions. Then he quotes finally, one verse, Canto 10, Chapter 81, devotional service to his lotus feet. Again, this is a reference going back several verses, right? Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfection a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. So we heard the other day this mentioned that in this case, this is Jiva Goswami saying, in reference to his lotus feet, means, in this case, sadhana bhakti. But when we're doing sadhana bhakti, it's important, it's more than it's important, it's necessary to understand what's the goal. Otherwise, it's not just behavior change. There are lots of people that get up early in the morning. Lots of people that don't, but there's lots of people that do. And lots of people take a bath. They don't put tilak on, but they put clothes on, and you know, they do stuff. They do activity. So rituals that are not with the intention of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not going to, it may be conventional, and conventional meaning laukika, worldly, you know, it's some culture and tradition, they do this or they do that. I do because my grandmother did, or whatever the thing is. And it's not a zero. But it's not going to deliver the fruit. So the Bhagavatam wants us, again and again and again, to receive the fruit in this lifetime, to cultivate properly whatever one's position is throughout life, from the tender age of childhood and up to the conclusion. Bhagavatam wants us to understand that the ultimate significance of bhakti. I'll just say two other things quickly and then finish. In Brahma's prayers, Canto 10, Chapter 14, the first section is emphasis on bhakti in contrast to other processes. In Queen Kunti's prayers, she does the same thing. The emphasis on bhakti in contrast to gyan and karma. It's not just Rupa Goswami came up with this nice idea, Jnana Karma Jnanavritam. It's Bhagavatam. It's Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It's this Amala Pramana, spotless authority. And gee, how fortunate we are that we have it. Compliments of the arduous work of devotion of our founder Acharya. We have it. We don't cherish it sufficiently. I'm sure everyone here and people that aren't here cherish it. But if we could cherish it sufficiently, that's the passage to the stage of perfection, is obstructions are removed. That is to say, the obstructions are stuff inside and taking shelter of other things instead of exclusive shelter, ananya bhakti. And this ananya bhakti is what, it's so powerful that attracts Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive, but Krishna is attracted by ananya bhakti. That's the power of what we've been given. So continue cultivating and be clear what the goal is, and be clear what the process to reach the goal is. Bhakti is that process, and bhakti is pleasing Krishna in whatever our station is, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, whatever that station is. And our activities are for his pleasure and nourished by the chanting of the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. We're very fortunate. Any discussion?
Maharaj, here we found that Krishna himself is now, he is saying that now he is teaching the Vedic principles. So like samadhi and constantly thinking of Krishna. So question is coming, suppose one devotee is very strong in his youth, and one devotee in his final stage, like he is a sannyas, suppose. So which one is recommended? Because in the purport I think he's mentioned every one has to work. One has to not do some devotional service. So question is, which one is recommended for what? Yes, of course everything is absolute. Whether one is mopping the floor or doing worship or whatever. So which you can recommend? Are the, means suppose one is thin, lean and thin, he cannot do any devotional service. So is he recommended for samadhi or something, constantly thinking of Krishna?
We need a relay system here.
If I understand your question correctly,
do your best.
What determines what is the proper activity for different individuals? Someone it might be work, for another one it might be samadhi, as they near the end of their life. How to determine which form, which activity is proper for which person. Is that correct?
Well, there's four categories, and then there's obvious customizing under those four categories. So for a brahmachari, this one, study of the scripture, right in Bhagavad Gita. And for a householder, so there's categories. Supposing Harsha said, I meet people every now and then. You know, before I was married, life was simpler, and now it's very complicated. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. But, you know, two questions to that person. Long term, over the next 25 years, is it appropriate for you, is it suitable for you, that you're in a family situation or that you're in one of these other situations. What's your nature? Not just because parents said you got to get married now, but what is your nature? And then, so it's suitable. And when you are in this position, it would be very irresponsible if you didn't maintain your family, your wife and your children, and you know, that's not performance of duty. So there's performance of duty that's suitable for the ashram. So like that. Then, you know, different persons have, this is Rupa Goswami's teaching, that anasaktasya vishayan yartaham upayunjitaha. We had discussed this actually just in one home program yesterday. So, yatarham, according to suitability. So what may be suitable for you may not be suitable for Sunila Madhava, may not be suitable for Subal, and might not be suitable for some other grahastha. So there's some customizing. So what is suitable? And, you know, a principle, not the only one, is so you can be peaceful. And at the same time, minimize nirvritti. But, you know, what your needs are and what another person's needs are may not be the same. And it needs is kind of more the mind than it is the soul, but that's what Varnashram is about. It's, you know, the mind and the body and what the needs are, meeting those needs. So, best is to have someone guiding, and otherwise, even with some guiding or not guiding, introspect and what are my needs? And minimize them, and then that's suitable. And whatever you do accept, without anasaktasya vishayan, without attachment to sense gratification, whatever the things are that I accept, without attachment to sense gratification. That's easier said than done, but that's the principle. Ashram specific and different needs for the brahmachari, different needs for the, you know, different ashrams. And what's suitable. So, under the authority of scripture, under the guidance of an appropriate person, ideally, and so where I can be peaceful and progressively execute my duties in my particular ashram in a, you know, in a progressive manner, progressively nivritti, diminishing the sense of I need, you know, whatever it is. And so purposefully minimizing that so that I can maximize my focus on spirit or sat. Not just, you know, tyag for the sake of tyag, because that's going to make me, you know, a good devotee. But so that for the purpose of increasing focus on sat. So for pleasing Krishna. So that's the operative principle. Something else. Mataji?
Maharaj, we were at a book distribution tent yesterday, and it was an international, I think, cultural fest. So there were tents of many different countries.
Many different countries.
Yes. And one of the tents was an Islamic tent.
Oh, Islamic tent.
Yes. So a person from there walked to our tent and he asked us, like, what is the essence of your teachings? I've been thinking of reading Bhagavad Gita for a very long time and I see that you have it. So I want to know, what does this book teach? So we told him that this book teaches how we can re-establish our connection with God and how we can serve Him. He took a book, but we wanted to find out, like, if somebody asks us in one or two sentences, how can we tell them what is the essence of our teachings?
So that's nice sharing. Now, what's your question?
The question is...
Did you say the right thing? Is that your question?
Yes.
Sure. There's many right things, and that's one of them. There's not only one right thing. That's fine. You might want to add, many people who are from Islamic upbringing and faith, they really like Bhagavad Gita. Like, you know, that's a marketing message. You should have one too. But, you know, the purpose of it is, the purpose of speaking like that is also, the intention is not to convert from that ism to this ism, because that's what we're up to. It's rather just describing principles, that these principles apply in any tradition, because it's just principle specific, it's not ism specific. And I think that's another nice thing to say when you're speaking to somebody from some other persuasion or faith. Depends on their broad-mindedness, but yeah. Yes, Anila Madhava.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think we should always emphasize that the God is a person.
Mm.
And then we want to serve Him with love and devotion.
Mm.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Because, and you know, his remark is, that's certainly something that Prabhupada gave emphasis to in his presentation of Bhagavad Gita, that God is a person. Because he didn't want to use God, because there's conceptions of God all over the place out there. But God is a person. Meant in our... Yeah, okay.
Maharaj, you are saying that bhakti is independent and it doesn't require brahmachari, study of the Veda, the Kriya, Yoga, Tapa. But when we see in the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, the qualities of brahmachari mentioned, and then the words come is bhakti-amabhichanati. So
then the word is what?
Then the words come bhakti-amabhichanati. Means first the...
Bhakti-amabhichanati.
So first the Gita described what is the role of brahmachari, what is the role of grahastha, what is the role of vanprastha, what is the role of Shudra, Vaishya, Brahmana.
Okay.
So everything is described, and then they're coming to bhakti. So it seems like that bhakti, although it is independent, the steps are coming in bhakti, but because of the independent and powerful nature of bhakti, these are getting subsumed. So we can't visualize it, we can't understand it, but they are definitely coming in the role of bhakti while we are doing bhakti.
You're making a statement.
No, I'm asking you, is it true or false?
Oh. Not exactly, because it's easy to say true or false, but I'm not exactly sure what the concept... Let me say back. Different language. The different language is... The Vedas give us these senses of four varnas, four ashrams, and the duties, you use that word, duties connected to each of the four plus four. And then comes bhakti. And you want to know is that, you said more, but it's not, and then comes bhakti. No. There are persons, you know, there's a whole school out there that they don't, you know, bhakti's just not on the screen. It's just performance of duties. It's, you know, atheistic varnashram. And then there's daivi varnashram. And the Vedas present Daivi Varnashram. So it's not, and then comes bhakti. It's from the very beginning.
Since tapa is not required in bhakti, but it seems like when you do bhakti, the austerity and tapa follows simultaneously because bhakti.
Yes,
is.
Yes.
So the more you do tapa, more you do austerity, more you increase in bhakti.
No. There's lots of people that are super austere, they're not increasing in bhakti. There's devotees, Prabhupada says, we cannot do the austerities of the Mayavadi sannyasis. They're really severe. Or the tapasvis, really severe. But that's not, doesn't increase bhakti, either one of those two. Now, supposing bhakti is at the heart from the very outset, and you, or any, you know, fledgling bhakta, or bhaktin, they voluntarily accept some austerity. Let's say, you know, they do, every Ekadasi they do some tapa, specific for Ekadasi. That's going to help. But it's because bhakti is at the center. And that helps the distraction from sense gratification, spirit and tendency, provided they're doing it for the purpose of satisfying Vishnu, not just, you know, do this to get that.
You can understand that even if you don't know Vishnu, but because we are in the bhakti school, the result will come. Because Brahmaji, when he heard the word tapa, he was not knowing who is Vishnu and where the voice is coming from. But because he accepted...
Who's he?
Because Brahma. Brahmaji.
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahmaji accepted that word, and he started performing the austerities.
But what was that austerity? What was, do you know?
Right.
He was chanting mantra. That was his tapa. That was his tapa.
Maji was not knowing to whom he was chanting mantra, but he was chanting mantra because someone told him. And that helped him to get the result of his austerities.
That's okay. That's okay. Like Gajendra. His inclination was wanting to know the source of his existence. And he may not have had the name and the form and the qualities and, you know, the detail of the Vedas. That came later. But it's, the intention was the source of everything. The source of himself and the source of everything. And there's one. And that then he became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. Because Krishna, from within his heart, imparted it to him. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for your class. I was...
Slowly.
See, I'm going to go fast.
Okay.
I was appreciating your last point you were making, where austerity doesn't increase bhakti. And that reminds me of Durasamuni and one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavatam. I think
slowly,
it's
slowly.
Fifth canto, chapter 1, verse 17. It says that even if one is a renunciate who travels from forest to forest, he must always fear material bondage because he's married to six co-wives, the mind and five senses. And Durvasa was a monk, but he was married to Maya, and Ambarish was a householder, but he was divorced from Maya. So my question is that...
Slowly.
In our situation, doesn't matter which situation we're in, a monk, vanaprastha, whatever ashram, it seems like the mind, the tendency is to always find something wrong in our situation, always look for something that's wrong because we're married to Maya. So my question is, how do we become content in whatever situation we are, because we can't orchestrate every situation we live
in? By connection with Krishna, and not otherwise. You want contentment? That's how, and not otherwise. You know, one can go up, but then back down. Because only bhakti has the power to do that. You stay up, you have a place of shelter in the realm of transcendence, in the person of transcendence, through the mood of service. Okay, I'm going to end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.